You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
You're the Prince of Peace from generation to generation. You're the exalted one from generation to generation. The pierced and whole. Power is limitless. just open up our Bibles to Psalm 103. Just as we continue to worship into the night with all that Holy Spirit desires to do in our time with Him corporately, I just keep hearing the word nations are on His heart. I just keep hearing nations, nations, nations. And if we can take Psalm 103, you can start from the end, you can start from the beginning, whatever the Lord highlights to you. I want to actually invite invite you to pray and intercede and declare His word over the nations. And there can be specific things, you know, over specific ministries that we partner with, that we've had the privilege of running this race with. There are many countries that the Lord has taken frontline. The Lord has privileged and honored frontline to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the darkest places of the earth. And I just believe he desires for us to partner with Him this evening, just to intercede with Jesus, who sits on the mercy seat, on that mercy seat, interceding from that place of where His hem is dripping with blood for the nations, for the nations, for the lost. And this is not a shift from worship. This is as we're declaring out our faith and our belief and our worship for the worthy one, and we declare out the word of heaven. It just releases. And we read in Psalm 103 that the obedient angel armies do His bidding. They obey Him. They do His will. And they're here to partner with us as well to release that into the nations this evening. So if you have something already specific on your heart, it can be one verse, it can be more than that. Just be led and just allow other people to come after you to pray out as well. But if there's somebody that wants to start that out, you're more than welcome to, just as we continue into worship.
We want to see you, Lord, revive. Oh, with your gracious compassion, Lord. You're slow to anger, Father. You're abounding in mercy. You're rich in love. Pour it out, Father. Your glory was displayed on the cross, Jesus, for the nations, that they would all become one again. For salvation is of the Jews, Lord. You came. You came. You came. So that the nations would be one. One separated, but now together. One man. That one man, Christ. So that the earth could be filled with the glory of the Lord. Father, I thank you that you're pouring out the glory of the Lord in the earth. You're filling it. All nations will come to you. All knees will bow. All tongues will confess that you are Lord. All nations. All nations will be saved. You will save. You will save the lost. You will save the lost. Your glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You did it already, Father. You did it already. You loved the earth so much that you sent your Son. And he did it. Jesus, you did it. Your glory, perfect in love. The kindness of God spread out. Spread out through Christ. Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you that in Psalm 113 it says, keep it up, praise him some more, for the glorious name of the Lord is blessed forever and ever. From sunrise brilliance to sunset beauty, lift up his praise from dawn to dusk, for he rules on high over the nations with the glory that outshines even the heavens. No one can be compared to God enthroned on high. He stoops down to look upon the sky and the earth. He promotes the poor, picking them up from the dirt and rescues the needy from the garbage dump. He turns paupers into princes and seats them on their royal thrones of honor. Father, I thank you, God, that we have seen the garbage dumps, God, and we have been there, Father, and worshiped you with the precious people of Mozambique, Father, who are worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Father, even in the darkest, one of the darkest situations, God, and yet you're providing their every need, and there's a church there that's lifting you up on high, God. And tonight we remember those precious ones, God. We remember those ones, Father, that are our brothers and sisters, Father. Although they live in such desperation, Lord, they're in love with you, God. And we just fan the flame for Mozambique tonight. Father, we lift up Pastor Jose and his whole team. Father, we lift up Heidi Baker and Roland Baker and their teams. Father, and we thank you, God, that Mozambique, Father, will continue to burn for you, God. It will continue to burn, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of famine, even in the midst of seemingly horrific things, God. Lord, that just Mozambique would rise, Father. They would rise, and they'd be found praising you, God. They'd be found giving you glory, Father, and that the glory that's upon them, Father, is that glory that outshines even the heavens, because you're inside of them. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Father. It says you promote the poor, picking them up from the dirt, and you rescue the needy from the garbage dump. Father, it says you turn the paupers into princes and seats them on their royal thrones of honor. Father, tonight we just lift them up before your throne of grace. Father, and we thank you for what you're doing in Mozambique. We thank you for all the things you're establishing, Father. The new land, Father, and the dormitories for the boys in CISA. Yes. Father, and all the various projects that are going forth. Father, in such a speedy way, in such a way that shows your glory, that shows your hand of favor is upon Mozambique, that shows your hand of favor is upon Pastor Jose, and that shows what you are going to do in these end times for Mozambique. Father, we lift them up, God. And we say, have your way. Father, we pour out our thanksgiving and praise for the provision that you've given. And we ask for more, God. We ask that it would be completed this year. Father, that boys would start living in those dormitories this year. God, what a sign, what a wonder that would be, Father, for the dormitories to be finished, for the boys and men to be able to come, Father, and play soccer and learn a trade and give their life unto the King. Give their life for you, Jesus, and be trained up in the things of the Lord. Father, we just ask God ahead of time and thank you ahead of time for the completion of this project. Father, and we just pray for each boy and man that will be part of the project, living on the land and learning a trade. Father, we pray for them. Father, that many will need salvation even as they come. And we pray, Father, that they will come to know you in the fullness of your power and your resurrection life, God. And we also pray, Father, that you would prepare the hearts of the boys who are to say yes as they're invited to live in these dormitories, Father, when they're completed, God. We just bless them ahead of time and get them ready, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the way your hand is moving. We thank you, God, for the way you're pouring out. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name.
Lord, for the creativity that's releasing out over the nations. Lord, I'm just reminded of the creativity that Pastor Jose stepped into, Lord, in creating CISA. Father, I was reminded as Ashley was praying, many years ago when we went to Mozambique, we would see the young boys that were homeless playing soccer on the streets. They would take garbage and form it into a ball, and they would kick that ball around. Father, I thank you for the creativity that's being released out into the nation. And for the courage, Lord, that people are rising up into to step into these endeavors, Father. Because there will be people who will be saved out of darkness through these creative endeavors. They'll be brought out of darkness into glorious light through these relationships, Father, because of these creative endeavors that are going all over the earth. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that people are stepping out and they're stepping into these creative endeavors, Father, as the glory of the Lord fills the earth and covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Father, we thank you that part of your glory is creativity. You created the earth. You created people. You created everything in it from nothing. And I thank you, God, that you give us the same ability to take nothing and make something of it, Father. I thank you, God, that people and kids are going from nothing to something. Father, nothing. Orphans to sons. I thank you, God, that these kids are going to transform the earth with the glory of God because they went from nothing and are now something. Not because of their gifts and talents, God, but because they went from nothing to something. Nothing to someone. Father, I thank you that you're resurrecting kids, Lord, and people from talents from all over the world, Lord God, from nothing to someone. I thank you, God, that people are rising up, Lord God. They're rising up into this position, God, and the earth is being filled with the glory of the Lord. And I thank you, God, that kids are being rescued as a result of this, Lord God. Kids of all walks, kids of all nations, Lord God, are being rescued, Lord God. Those from the garbage dumps, those from the schools, Lord God, those who have a wealth, those who have nothing, Lord God, they're being rescued. You don't care, Lord God. You don't have any prejudice toward poor or rich. You just reach in, you grab them, and you pull them out of darkness into your glorious light. And I thank you that you're doing it in this earth, Lord God. You're doing it from small endeavors. You don't despise the days of small beginnings. You don't despise the days of small beginnings. You are in the small beginnings. And I thank you, God, that you take the small beginnings and you increase them. You increase them according to your loving kindness and your riches. You supply all of our need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for emptying out the storehouse of heaven so earth could be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. verse 4 said that you redeem our life from the pit. You crown us with favor and compassion. You satisfy our years with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Father, we thank you that this is true for our partners overseas, Lord. Father, there's not one of them, Lord God, who would not give you glory, Father, for redeeming their life, Lord God. For reaching down, Father, where they were in a pit, Lord God, and redeeming them, Father, and setting them on high, Lord God. And I just thank you, Father, that you crown them with favor and with compassion, Lord God, with loving kindness and with mercy, Father. That that's something that you crown them with, Father, that they are living examples, Father, of how you crown your children, Father God, with favor, Lord God, with compassion, with kindness, Father. Lord, that you satisfy them, Father, with good things, Lord God, that they are satisfied, Father, even in the work that they're doing, Lord God, even as they pour themselves out, Father, for you, Lord God. Father, that you satisfy them with good things, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that their youth is renewed like the eagles, Father. And Lord, we just pray this, Father, over Pastor Samuel, Lord God, and Mama Vera, Lord God. Father, in Ghana, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we pray it over Pastor Benjamin, Lord God, and Adriana in Southeast Asia, Lord God. Father, we pray it over Pastor Dewa and Sunitha, Lord, in India, Father God. Yes, Lord. Father, we pray it, Lord God. Shout out their names.
Pastor
Dirceo, Lord God, and Pastor Janini, Lord, in Brazil, Father. Inez Nunes in Brazil, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we prayed over Pastor Dan and Mama Helen, Father, in Ghana. Lord. Father, we've already lifted up Pastor Jose, Lord. We lift up Mama Linda, Father God. Father, we thank you, Lord, and all the other ones, Father, that you have connected our hearts with, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you are satisfying them, Lord God, satisfying them, Father. You satisfy them, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you have gifted them, Lord, and favored them, Father, that they are able to reach out, Lord God, and rescue others, Father. See you rescue others from the pit, Lord God. And so we just partner with them, Father, in the Spirit, Lord God. We say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who loves to do that, Father. You love to redeem, Father. You love to satisfy us, Father. You love to crown us, Father. And we just thank you for multiplication, Lord God, in every country, Father. Multiplication, Lord God, in every life, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
so cool that the Lord laid nations on Jamie's heart. Because as we enter into a time of communion here, just have such a sense from the Lord's heart that He's wanting to awaken us to the time and the season that we're living in even more. And the crazy part is that we know in part, we prophesy in part. And some of you were at the all-nighter, and there was just a release that night of praying in the Spirit, of speaking in tongues, of praying in the Spirit over situations, over circumstances, over the nations. And there's times when we're at a loss of what to pray. But the Lord gives us in the Spirit those words through intercession, through tongues, where we're praying out mysteries, where Scripture says we're praying out His perfect will into situations. And so I believe the Lord is wanting us to know that we have weapons of warfare, we have weapons of intercession over the nations, that He gives us tongues, He gives us words, He gives us intercession birthed by His Spirit that shifts and changes the atmosphere. And that's something that we can effectively do together as a family, individually, before Him. And it's just an honor and a privilege to hear and receive from His heart. And when I was asking the Lord, you know, what He wanted to release tonight, He just laid Gideon on my heart. And here Gideon was. The children of Israel were oppressed. They were in fear. Some of you know the story of Gideon, of course. He was hiding out. And the Lord showed up to him. Just appeared, found him. When he's, you know, hiding out in the wine press, kind of getting some food together. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, you're a mighty warrior. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? I'm literally hiding out right now. I'm literally, like, I'm here right now because of my fear has brought me to the place where I'm at right now, so nobody can see me. And there's the Lord. He sees him. He steps right in, and He calls something forth in Gideon that he didn't even see in himself. And then it was interesting, as I was reading through it, Gideon, though, then tries to figure out, is this the Lord or not? And it's like, what kind of fear is working in his heart that literally an angel of the Lord shows up to him, and he's like, is this the Lord or not? Because this sounds so crazily different from the situation I'm in. But then it's interesting because Gideon goes and he gets bread and he gets a meal. He gets some meat, he gets some unleavened bread, and he gets some broth, and he brings it back and he puts it before the Lord. And as I was thinking about it, it's like he was hiding out so he could have food enough for himself. But he sees the Lord. The Lord enters into his situation and circumstances. So then he goes and he brings a sacrifice to the Lord, because he could have eaten that food. He needed that. He needed all of that stuff. But he's like, no, there's something unique here. There's something different. So he puts it before the Lord. And then Scripture says that, you know, reaches out a rod, touches it, and it lights on fire and completely burns up. And it just blows his mind, which I'm thinking that would blow all of ours. And then the angel of the Lord disappears, and then he starts freaking out because he says, I saw the angel of the Lord, I'm going to die. And it's to me, it's just the Lord's interaction with Gideon, and he's all over the map. You know, he's faithful one second, he's not. He's putting it like, give me a fleece, give me not. But the Lord works with him in the midst of his situation as far as what he's speaking over him. So then he says, okay, now go and cut down the idol that's at your dad's house. Go cut that whole thing down. And so Gideon does it, but he does it at night so that nobody can figure out who did it. But then the townspeople, they get together and they figure out by process of elimination, oh, it's Gideon's the one that cut down this Asherah pole and this altar to Baal. But at the same time, Gideon put a sacrifice there of an ox before the Lord. And so the Lord's working with Gideon in this whole process, and he gathers together a ton of people of the children of Israel, And I know that you guys have heard the story before, but the Lord was just bringing it fresh up in my mind. So he's got this large group of the children of Israel to fend off the Midianites, and the Lord's like, no, it's too big. Because if we go right now and we fight, we're going to say that we did it because of our own strength, because of what we mustered up. So Gideon, send those home that don't want to fight. So those that don't want to fight, they go home. And we can pick it up here in Judges 7. So, started out with a lot, then 22,000 went home. So there were 10,000 that were willing to fight. And this is Judges 7:4. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So, if you're catching a theme here, the Lord likes to do big things with small groups of people. Because at the end of the day, when that happens, the Lord is the one who gets the glory, because he shows what he can do in impossible odds and situations and circumstances. So then obviously he sends them down. Then Gideon's still freaking out about fighting the Midianites. It says the Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. That night the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I've given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So the Lord's working with Gideon. He's like, I'm pretty sure that he's going to see this army. He's going to get a little freaked out. So why don't you just go down there, and I'm going to let you know what's happening in the enemy's camp. I'm going to give you an ear. Now that's a risk. Gideon's the leader. He takes that at night. So Gideon took Purah and went down to the edge of the enemy's camp. And the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling a companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, this is the Lord working in the heart of the enemy and stirring up fear. His companion answered and said, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. So Gideon is not only hearing from the Lord, go down there and you'll receive encouragement. When he gets down there, the Lord's giving revelation to one of the guys in the camp of, Gideon is going to be here, and this whole thing is just going to, it's all going to flip. The Lord had to be enjoying this so much because of what he was doing. When Gideon heard the dream and interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. That would do it. I think, what a sweet song of worship Gideon sang in that moment. What was his prayer? That's what I want to see when I get to heaven. Just like, Lord, when Gideon prayed, when he went down, can I see that whole thing? Can we get in to hear that heartfelt expression of Gideon's heart of, wow, Lord, you saw me in the wine press, and now you've taken me from that place of fear to, like, I literally snuck into the enemy's camp, and the process that the Lord took him through there to get there. So then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. He He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man's ram horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do as just as I do. And as soon as I, with those with me, blow the ram's horns, blow your horns two all around the entire camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right, and they all shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places as far away as Beth something and Zerah to the border of someplace near Tabith. What a mighty turnaround. And then using unconventional warfare. No swords. Just a horn, a trumpet, some fire. Like fire and wind. You know, there had to be some wind expelled. There had to be some energy expelled. Some fire released to stir up the enemy. And so what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with the nations? What does this have to do with communion? It has everything to do with all three of them. So what the Lord was speaking to me is that he saw Gideon. And Gideon, in whatever way that he was, with all of his imperfections, his heart was, I'm going to draw close to the Lord and he's going to lead me in this process. And the Lord gave Gideon what he needed for the next step and the next step and the next step, which gave Gideon confidence to step out. And as I think, as Jamie was talking about the nations, as we're praying over Mozambique, over Ghana, so many of these different places where the Lord has taken this incredibly small group of people and literally has positioned us in the nations, given us land in multiple continents. And what's incredible to me is that I wasn't even the first initial part of it, but all the way back in 2000, I heard a prophetic word from Pastor Dan, who Rachel prayed out, about a word to Frontline Ministries International that he's going to give us the four corners of the earth. So many years later, we have land in those four corners of the earth. We have buildings. We have things that the Lord has established in the kingdom. That was that Gideon, I see you in the wine press in the small place, and now I've increased it. And then he's using situations and circumstances and tactics that don't really make any sense. But then again, it didn't make sense to Noah when the Lord said, build an ark. What's that? Well, it's going to rain. What's rain? I don't know, but it's coming. And he stepped out in obedience. And so the Lord's positioned us to take land in these places, to take places in the kingdom, has established covenant relationships with believers in the nations. And I can't stress to you how valuable that is. That's such a blessing that we have voices from the nations that speak into us, into our body, that are partners in the spirit, not just an idea, not just a concept. We are joined together by the Lord because of what he's building and establishing and doing in the earth. And that's unusual. And sometimes because I'm in it so much, I can take that for granted. But it's a miracle. Sometimes the connections and the way and the establishment of what he's done, for that to bear fruit year after year after year, doing it with a small group of people. So the Lord was reminding me of, it doesn't, you know how he sent the laborers out to work in the vineyard, and then there were people that worked there all day. And then there were people that like came in at the end and they were still laboring and they all got the same reward. So some of you, you haven't been here from the very, very beginning. And that's okay. That's fine. Because somehow in your life, the Lord has picked you like Gideon out of that wine press and has positioned you into a place of saying, I have a place for you in the nations. You can't escape it. You cannot escape that call because that is the DNA that is here. But it is our heart of, Lord, how do I respond to that? How does that look? What does that look like? Because there's a cost to it. There's a place of position, of battle that the Lord wants us to step into that's unconventional to see the nations of the earth change and the kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's moments of sweetness where the Lord gives you revelation, like he gave Gideon in the enemy's camp of, the Lord's going to turn this thing. He's going to do it. He's going to do it mightily. And so there's a fresh release tonight for you because he sees you as a mighty warrior in the nations. And you're like, well, I can't do that because I've got X, Y. Gideon had his reasons. But not only that, there's a place of intercession in the spirit for the nations where it's not just me going there physically, but there's a burden that the Lord wants to release to us in the place of intercession to see a shift and a change in the atmosphere of his kingdom being built in the earth. And that's a place of incredible honor that he asks us to step into. That's something for every believer. It's every single one. So Mike shared a little bit ago about, you know, a heart of remembrance and thanksgiving. Because we want to remember what the Lord has released because it helps us see where we're going. One of the things he spoke to me, just that, you know, along with Gideon, and I just wrote it out. And he said, I want you to be secure in where I called you to be. Because there is a fountain that I would like you to drink from, to refresh and strengthen yourself. And in that fountain is wisdom and revelation of me and my heart and my purposes. And that there is a grace for you when you stand in the place that I called you to be. Challenges and all kinds of challenges will come, but like Gideon, you will stand and you will release a supernatural kind of warfare that we've never seen before that's going to shift and change the destiny of nations. And at the end of the day, the Lord gets the glory for it. That's what this is all about. It's so that he gets the glory, so that he can demonstrate to the world what he does with people who really don't have it all together. Because we don't have it all together. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing. And we're just along for Holy Spirit's ride to, what does this look like? Because there's so many times people could have set Gideon aside and said, look, if you want to attack the enemy, you need like these 18 points of what you need to do. You need to strategically place yourself here. You need to do this, do that. And he's like, nah, I'm going to listen to the Lord. And then the Lord's going to release a dream and a vision and a completely different strategy of doing it. To see a victory won in the earth. So know tonight that if you're here, there's a reason why you're sitting here in this very room. If you're watching online, there's a reason why you're watching online. If you're watching this later, there's a reason why you've come across it. It's because the Holy Spirit is saying, I have positioned you where I want you to be, and I'm asking you to be secure in that place because there's a fountain there of refreshing and revelation and steps of destiny that will see his kingdom come and be released in the nations, and his heart will be reflected in beauty. Just one last thing is, he was speaking about how he spoke to the disciples before he was going to ascend into heaven. He was in that intimate place with them, and he said, hey, I'm going to go. But I want you all to gather in Jerusalem in the upper room because there I'm going to pour out my spirit. There was a specific place that he asked them to be for an outpouring. And there were options that people could have been there, or they could have been somewhere else, but they listened to what he had said, and they responded and obeyed to that. And in that place, there was the release of Acts 2. And many came into the kingdom, but there was a specific thing that he asked them, a specific place where he asked them to be. So I just want to challenge you guys fresh tonight is to take that before the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me where I'm at. I want to hear you clearly, clearly, Lord. So Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're like Gideon. Don't have it all together. Lord, hiding out at times from the enemy, but then there you are, speaking your word, releasing your heart, building us up. And Lord, Gideon didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside, but we do. So it's even closer. So Lord, we thank you for the honor and privilege that we have here in this body. Lord, to be that Gideon's army in the nations. Lord, small but mighty. But Lord, we're looking to you because it's your hand doing it. It's your heart positioning us. And so, Lord, as we enter into that place of communion, Lord, we don't want to we don't want to fight against, Lord, where you're asking us to be. We don't want to run, Lord, from the fountain that you're putting in front of us to drink from. Lord, we want to hear and receive from you fresh. And Lord, we're thankful for what you've done in the nations, for how you've connected us in covenant relationships with those in the nations. And it's going to increase generationally, Lord. So Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would sanctify, Lord, these elements. And Lord, that there'd be fresh surrender to you. And Lord, we ask, Lord, for those words, those pictures, those dreams, Lord. You know what we need. You knew what Gideon needed to hear from you. And it was challenging, Lord. It didn't make sense, but he stepped into it. So Lord, we pray that we open ourselves up to that challenge. We open ourselves up to your heart. We open ourselves up to your spirit.
Father, we thank you, Jesus, that we can declare over your people tonight, O valiant warriors, because that's what you declare over us. We love it, Lord, that you value us so much because we begin to value you. It's a lifetime of learning that, God. So many in this season are going deeper in their value for you. And you are speaking over us at the same time. Oh, valiant warriors, young, old, and in between. Valiant warriors, ready for battle when you don't think you are. Ready for a big destiny when you don't think you are. Jesus, we hear that from you. We hear that from you tonight. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus' name. Well, we've been talking about Joseph And a number of people have come up and shared their heart on Joseph and what they're learning, what they're gaining from this time in Genesis. But I was given some scriptures after the message on Sunday. 1 Corinthians 1, 25 through 27. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. It goes on to say, in the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Sounds very much what Andy shared. That here's Gideon shaking completely in fear, and God turns it around in him. And then turns it around on a bigger stage with the people that he was part of. He can do that with each of us. And each of our destinies weave together. If he can take a Gideon, one man, and change the direction of what was happening with the Israelites back then, what if we all were changed? And we have the Holy Spirit inside in fire. And we step out of fear and step into the destinies that God has for us, and then he weaves it all together. What kind of ground could we take from the enemy? What kind of kingdom, a portion of the kingdom, could we build together? Well, it's happening. It's happening. We might be doing some, you know, worship where we just soak in the Lord. We can soak in the Lord and rest. And he is taking nations out of what we've already done by going there. Because our partners have been encouraged with the partnership with us, that God chose these partners for us, and we've maintained those relationships in some cases for decades. They're at work tonight. We get reports weekly as to what they're doing in the nations. We get reports of how people's lives are changed. I got a report on my cell phone a couple days ago how a demonized person, four or five young men could not hold this 70-year-old down. He was so demonized. And they spent 2.5 hours praying over him, ministering to this man who was overcome by demonic activity, and he was released after 2.5 hours into his right mind, into the power of Jesus rather than the power of the enemy. See, these things are going on, and we just get snippets of reports from overseas. And then when we tell them what we're doing here, down in the Southeast Corridor, or First Friday, or as we have an outreach, they're encouraged, and they're saying, oh, that's so great, that's so amazing. And then when we get together, we do it together overseas. And sometimes they come here, and our partners have come here, and we've done outreaches together, or we've ministered together, people's lives being changed. This, as Andy said, this is an unusual thing, the way God has put this together. And we're enjoying this ride, although it does take sacrifice. There are those that just can't give that kind of sacrifice to watch this develop. It takes a waiting heart to watch it develop to its full explosive potential. It takes someone waiting for their own destiny to weave into it. Maybe they don't even know how that could possibly be. I've not even had, you know, these kinds of things they're talking about from the front, encounters and an angel speaking to a guy in the Old Testament. What's that got to do with me? Everything. because he's going to release it more, as we've said over and over again in this season, to each of us. And with us, our expectation doesn't just come from us. Aren't you glad about that? Our expectation comes because the Holy Spirit energizes that expectation. We may feel like we're a weak, foolish thing. And God says, you're right, but I can turn you into a mighty warrior or a warriorette. And you're going to take nations with your partners that feel the same way. Many of them have told me, obviously in confidence, how they just don't, you know, they enjoy the encouragement that we give to them because it's such a battle. It's such a cost to pay. And many of them are young in years, despite being mature in the spirit. It's incredible, the partnerships that we have. The other scripture, if I have it right, Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Have you ever felt very much like a child? You didn't have to even try to get there. When it comes to the things of God, you feel like you're behind. You're not caught up to what God may be wanting to do through you or release on the earth. You're like, there's so much to learn. I'm so far behind. Well, I can tell you, after going after the Lord for decades, I still feel that way. Like, I'm still behind what God is wanting to do. That's because Jesus is leading ahead of us. He's always going to be ahead of us. We're always going to feel like we're behind. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Let's just keep trying to catch up. Let's try to be more like Jesus. Let's take advantage of the times when we can soak in him. I was so refreshed by the time I spent soaking, and I realized, wow, you don't do this enough. You don't do this enough. When we opened up soaking tonight, and I came in, and I laid down, and I realized the Lord's like, you know, you don't do this enough. I've been waiting for you. I've been wanting to release some things to you. And I'm like, oh, this is so sweet. Just to totally be still. I have moments in the day that I'm still. But this is just laid out on the pews still. It's different. And then have that beautiful worship music behind and just let the Lord speak to us. Just sweet words. Just the angel coming to Gideon and calling him something he didn't think he was. He can do that with us. He'll speak to us as warriors, and we know we're babes. We're small children, and he likes that. He likes us to be humble before him, because then he can speak big destinies into us. Well, we've been talking about our own personal destiny as we followed the destiny of Joseph in the book of Genesis. And one thing that I spoke out to someone just this morning, in fact, about probably 7:10 in the morning, already speaking things out. We were sharing back and forth. And I said, you know, one thing that people miss when they receive a prophetic word from the Lord is that it's conditional. It's provisional. We have to be in line with him, obedient to him. And as we've said before, our destiny is weaved in with other destinies. It's not just our destiny and we're going to stand out above others. And it's always weaved in with other destinies. And our destiny is conditional. So those often that are young, they jump out ahead because they've got a big destiny spoken over them. But they've forgotten that there is a cost to pay usually a waiting period, usually a refining and a training that goes with that, and that involves others speaking into our lives. I mean, before I ever really stepped out very strong in ministry, there were people training me and speaking into my life and letting me know, oh, you're a little ahead here. You need to kind of back up. Or, you know what? Come on, get going. What's wrong with you? You're kind of slowing down. You're kind of not getting out there like you used to. I needed that in my life as a young person especially. I still need it. But I needed it especially as a young person to know when I was jumping out ahead in my pride, my feeling like I got this. And then other times the Lord was trying to push me out of the nest and to fly a little bit. And so learning his voice, others helped me with that. And others can help you with that. And it's an awesome training that he does in our lives. And Joseph, in his case, he was trained by Jesus himself in prison. And we don't even get a picture of it, but we see the results of it, so we know it happened. We know the intimacy happened. We know that he got rid of fear. We know that he got rid of unforgiveness in prison. Why? Because when he stepped into the place of power, he operated completely in line with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, with Jesus. And he wasn't even, you know, aware of all the things that we're aware of. He didn't have the revelation we had. He didn't have the New Testament. Joseph didn't have the New Testament. But he spent time with God in the quiet place. We know that because of what he did after he was elevated to the position of power. He forgave. He gave God all the credit. He stepped forth into the things that could have been very fearful. He received prophetic utterances from God and spoke them out to the places of power. You don't see anything in his life where he was an orphan, as we've mentioned before. Well, we do want to move a little bit ahead in our account. And we're on chapter 46. Remember, he's just revealed himself to the family members. Jacob has just heard, his father has just heard back in Canaan that Joseph is alive. At first he doesn't believe it, but then because of the word of life from Joseph himself and the things that he sent, the acts that he did, he believes, and it said he was revived. His spirit was revived. The word of the Lord revives our spirit. When it's truly the word of the Lord and the prophetic word of the Lord, we are built up. We are empowered like a Gideon, completely shaken in his knees at the wine press, fearful of the enemy and what he could do to him. Oh, you're the one I'm choosing to lead everybody. You know the ones that really had the faith in the story of Gideon? Gideon actually had an encounter. The ones that really had faith? The ones that followed him. What's he doing getting a chance to, you know, decide who the army is? These guys probably could say, you know, hey, we know you. You were fearful. You were scared of the enemy. Why should we follow you? That's the real miracle of the story of Gideon, is the people followed him. The warriors, the army people followed him, this chicken heart. And you know, I don't know about you, but that's oftentimes who he chooses to lead. Those that have sometimes easy holes to see, but God fills them with his spirit, uses them as a mighty person, you know, in him, and they know God did it. People know God did it. You know, I often say I'm the son of a garbage man. People are going to know God did it. My relatives, The people in my past, they can't believe that I'm going to the nations. That guy, he grew up in Harbor Springs, Michigan. What's he doing going to the nations? What's he doing leading a ministry? He was not a ministry kind of kid growing up. He sang in a choir and made faces at everybody. How did God use this guy? That's the way it will be with each of us in our family circle. That's why it'll make an impact on our family. They'll know it was God. So you can be lacking in their eyes, and God will use you as a mighty witness to your family and friends. And that is awesome because he did that with Joseph. Jacob revived. So Israel took his journey with all that he had. Remember, Jacob had the name Israel. Gets a couple names. So Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." So he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes." He tells him the rest of his life. God speaks to him and tells him the rest of his life. What had to happen before this? He had to be revived. He had to be in tune with God's heart, God's plan. He had to lay down that he was the patriarch. I should stay here, not go to that detestable place, Egypt. I should stay here. Instead, he steps into what God has for him. Leads the entire family, as we'll see in these next chapters. Everyone followed him, just like with Gideon. Why wouldn't some of them say, I'm not sure that, come on, Joseph's alive, this is fake news, we should stay here. It can't be true. It just can't be true. We should stay here. Dad, you know, he's getting a little older, he's 130 now. I mean, why should we listen to this guy? You know, he's already had a couple of, you know, incidences already that weren't too good. So why should we listen to him? But all of them do. Another miracle of following the patriarch when God is behind it. It's incredible how he will do that if we'll cooperate with that. And he did it with Jacob. So he was revived. People saw it, and they decided to follow. But first, because he was revived, he gets the rest of his life laid out. Ask you a question. Do you want the rest of your life laid out prophetically by God? Or would you rather have it be kind of a surprise? How many want it laid out? You want it laid out. You're ready for it. Okay, there's some children that want it laid out. And there's some adults that want it laid out. How many don't want it laid out because you want to take it a step at a time? Okay? How many are not going to vote because either way you think there's a right way? No. There isn't one right way. If you just have some anticipation by the Holy Spirit and you don't have a choice whether he lays it out to you all at once, or whether he does it a step at a time, you have to be ready for anything, right? You have to be ready for the way he works with you specifically. Well, with Jacob, he lays out his whole life. Your son, Joseph, will be there when you die. And he will close your eyes. He will be part of your passing into eternity. What motivation, you know, to go to Egypt and see what God was going to do. He opened himself up to dreams from God by being revived. Joseph had the dreams at 17. This guy gets dreams revived again in him at 130. So does it matter what age you are in order to step into the next season of your prophetic destiny? And you're supposed to say, no, it doesn't. You could be young and you could step into the next years of your prophetic destiny. You can be a little bit more mature, and God still has steps of his destiny he wants to produce in your life. I still feel like I'm just getting started with what he has for my life. Why would I think anything different? Because he's working with a guy 130. All of us are younger than this guy. And he's being revived into the destiny for the rest of his life that will save his people by his son who he thought he was dead. Talk about a turnaround. Gideon had a turnaround. Jacob had a turnaround. Joseph had a turnaround. You can have a turnaround. Maybe you've been discouraged about, well, I don't know enough. I don't understand this stuff that everybody, prophetic this and prophetic that, and sometimes people fall on the floor. What's that about? What's this worship that just goes on and on and on and on, and you know, it just comes to people and they start worshiping, like last Tuesday night with some of the people that came up with the Psalms? What's that about? Is that just for fun? All these things are empowering in the spirit, but they don't seem like it. They seem like to some people, foolish things, or they're just kind of playing around. I want to start on my destiny. I want to be committed. I want to be obedient. Well, it first starts with being revived. Yes, you should be committed. Yes, you should be obedient. But you can't do that by yourself. Some people think so. I thought so. I thought all I needed to do was commit to the mighty God, and he would help me keep committed. He would help me. It was mainly my commitment, how strong I would be in my commitment. Later on, I meet Pastor Mary Pat, and I find out, oh, no, that's not how it works. You can't commit to anything without the Holy Spirit. You think you can. On the day of your marriage, you think, maybe, you know, I really want to be committed here. But the wise ones realize the glue is Jesus to a marriage. The glue is the Holy Spirit letting him work in our lives. Then something can happen with that bond of marriage. It can grow stronger. It can be purified if there's things in it that just aren't the way they should be. But if we think we can commit and we'll stay committed, I think we see from what's happened, even in the area of marriage, that commitment stuff by man's desire, man's intention, only goes so far. So he was revived, and then he started receiving more revelation. I pray that over you tonight. I pray that over myself tonight, double. That we will be revived even higher, greater, to a greater place, and it will bring more revelation, and we'll step forward into that. And we will wait when we should wait, and we'll step forward when we should step forward. And we will let God know we know we're the foolish things. We're the weak things. But that's who you work with. And we receive all the work you have for us, Lord. We receive that because we know you are the powerful one inside of us. If we think we can do anything, you already tell us in John 15, without Jesus, you can do nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. So all the people in the world running around and thinking they're accomplishing something, look how things are getting messed up more and more and more. With the ones that some of us thought, oh, they're kind of helping the earth. They're kind of helping people on the earth. The only ones helping people on the earth are God's representatives, God's ambassadors. If you go right down the line, we used to think, possibly, I don't know, maybe some of us thought, Bill Gates was helping the earth. He was helping people on the earth. He was giving a lot of his money away. He and his wife were giving their money away to help people. But we find out, whoops, there's some other things going on with Bill Gates. We thought maybe the Clintons with their foundation, they were helping the nations of Africa. I mean, we tried to think, you know, nice things about people that are trying to help people. Now we find out much more information. Huh, they're not helping people like we thought. What if all these people with altruistic ideas and thoughts and organizations and so on, what if all of them have impure motives? Of course they do, because they're apart from God. They don't know Jesus. You do know that Bill Gates doesn't know Jesus, right? You do know that the Clintons are far from Jesus, right? They need to be prayed into the kingdom. We're not mad at them. They need to be prayed into the kingdom. But let's not be foolish in thinking because some people want to give away their money that they actually have no strings attached to that. Or that in some cases they're not really giving it away. They're going, oh, didn't mean it, and getting more for themselves. That's the human heart. A heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. Without Jesus, all of our hearts are desperately wicked. We would be doing things apart from Jesus that we couldn't believe that we would be doing if he hadn't rescued us. That's part of enjoying the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jacob is revived, and he is about to ready to take all of the family members, all of the people, to a foreign land, expecting now that God is going to bless him in a land that hates Canaanites. They even hate shepherds. Guess what they are? Canaanite and shepherds. Now, how in the world is God going to bless them in a foreign land that hates who they are? He's going to do it. And we'll wait till he does. Well, we know what he's going to do, but we're just going to go over it a little more. Father, we thank you, God, that you can take us into foreign lands, and they might hate Americans. They might want to do Americans in. They might want to kidnap Americans. They might want to kidnap Christians. They might want to terrorize Christians. But God, we go with your strength, your power, your wisdom, your protection. And Father, so we pray for those missionaries that were kidnapped in Haiti, God. We pray, God, for them to be released. We're not foolish. We know that the enemy has evil plans against those that represent the name of Christ in other places, and more so than ever in our day. If we think all the martyrs, for the most part, are in the past and these are just exceptions now, no, it's a growing trend. Will we follow Jesus if our life is on the line? Will we follow Jesus in his prophetic destiny when he speaks big things over us as valiant warriors, but we actually have to be tested in it? Lord, that's what part of this time of waiting has been, to go back to the nations. Part of it has been to spend enough time with you to become that valiant warrior. Some have missed what this is about. It's preparation time. Time in your presence time. Time for equipping, being trained, being readied for battle on a whole nother level than has ever been seen by us, at least. Jesus, you are purifying your church. There are those with churches that have gone from 4,000 to 2,000. What's that all about? Gideon, There have been those that have gone from 100 to 50. What's that all about? Gideon. Who's really ready to battle in the time when so much is coming against the nations as an attack of the enemy? He's trying to have us lose heart. He's trying to have us think that we need weapons of the world to defeat the attacks of our spiritual enemy. Jesus, we have to rely on you, your Holy Spirit. This time is a time of preparation for war, Jesus. You're revealing that to us. It's a waiting time, not just to go to the nations. It's a waiting time where we're supposed to have our hearts prepared for the new reality in the nations. Jesus, there are so many hot spots of persecution on the earth right now under the cover of an attack of a pandemic. Much persecution has happened under this cover because they can point to the pandemic. We need to fight that. We need to fight that. Well, Christians are losing their lives and it doesn't make the news. Jesus, you're with us. You will take us into this new season. We have to be serious joy warriors. Joy of the Lord is our strength in a whole new way than ever before. Joy in our salvation and our redemption. Joy in the fact that we are weak. We're useless. We are foolish. And you're going to use us because you're going to prepare us and train us and equip us in the spirit with spiritual things, not with the natural weapons of war, but the spiritual weapons of war. And God, whatever stage we are in our preparation, you will accelerate it by dreams, visions, pictures, just like you did for Jacob, just like you did with the encounter for Gideon. And then the ongoing encounters with Gideon. He didn't just do this as a good idea, Lord. You reveal things to him. You will do that with us. Oh, but I've never had. Get ready. Oh, well, that could never. Get ready. Why would I be? Get ready. Jesus, go ahead. Release it on those that are willing to step forward. Step into the battle. And even if there's fear that grips their heart, like Gideon, you can sweep it away with an encounter and the follow-up encounters. Jesus, reveal to us from your word things that will build up our spirits. Reveal things from your spirit, spirit to spirit, that our spirit that has come alive because of Jesus will respond to your Holy Spirit and be intertwined in this beautiful dance and relationship of hearing from you. God, let us not be unwise and plan our own steps and ask you to put a stamp of approval on it. God, release us to the point where we understand that we need to submit our lives to you, submit our plans to you, submit our destinies to you. And you will purify everything and give us the power and the ability to walk it out. Because without Jesus, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. There is no good in us apart from the Holy Spirit and Jesus. We won't follow through with the good intentions. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. And like Jacob, thank you for reviving. Like Joseph, thank you for walking out his prophetic destiny with him, God. You were right there with him. He was in tune with you. He was hearing from you. He was releasing what he heard, and it changed his world. God, we don't realize how powerful he was. in the position he was on the earth at that time. He was released to be in charge of the whole earth because of the famine under Pharaoh's leadership. But he was so trusted, they did everything he asked. God, may we see that we could be put into a position, a key position. It may not look like all the royalty of Egypt, but we could be put in a key position that will be something that will fit into the kingdom building for the rest of time, God. We just have to believe that you can use someone like us. Thank you, God. We step into that. We believe for that. And we keep on pressing into you, pressing on for you. God, allowing you to work in us. Let us not float. Let us not cruise. Let us be intentional in going after your heart, Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, be sure and come or tune in on Sunday. And don't forget now, on Tuesdays, we have this soaking time. So if you come a little bit early, you can get in on some of that good encounter time with Jesus. You say, well, in my daily life, I don't seem to have that much connection with having an encounter with Jesus. Why not make a plan and come here early on a Tuesday night, lay yourself out on one of the pews and say, Jesus, speak to me. Guaranteed, somewhere in that time, whether it's the first time you do it or one of the times you do it, he will come to you and he'll speak to you. And probably the first thing he'll say is, I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You'll say, wow, that changes my whole life right there. That's been the report of many, many people over the years. We actually didn't come up with this idea on our own. We went to Toronto, Canada, and they were doing soaking in Toronto, and we learned about soaking in God's presence, and we came back and we did some of that in our home, and we would have on a Tuesday night people laid out all over our home on a Tuesday night. We put on some worship music, and then we would take testimonies afterwards before fire and wind ever happened. And we'd hear these amazing things that God did, what he did in people's hearts to heal them of things in the past and so on. It wasn't all just, oh, revelations about Jesus and prophetic destiny for myself or someone else. Actually, people were getting healed up from hurts and wounds and pains and fear and all kinds of things that God was doing inside of them. So they offered an official soaking center. So we signed up. And, you know, we're an official soaking center of Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. And we haven't had much contact with them in the last few years, but I remember them checking about 5 or so years after to see what soaking centers that they had officially designated were still running, were still going. And we were shocked to find out that we were one of the few that kept having soaking. Most of them just kind of faded out, and they stopped having the soaking times. They were official soaking centers, but they didn't have any soakers. So you can't soak without soakers. So we were still going, and so now this is a revival of that because we kind of shut that down a little bit in this past season. And not that we shut down soaking, but we shut down having it as an official time that we would have. So now it's a revival. We're reviving our soaking. And this is your opportunity. That was a pitch. That was a offer to come and join in. And I want to be the first in line because I've been letting it go a little bit too much. And it was wonderful tonight. So, Father, we bless each person here, a double blessing. That whether they soak here, they soak at home, or they soak in their car, when they're not driving, Father, that you would come to them. Speak your life and your love into them. Speak to them the value that they have before you, God. As you've done with many of us over the years, God, do it in a rich way for them in this season, because this is the season of preparation for battle like no other. And they need to know whose they are and how valued they are. We know you will release that to them without my prayer, but I just want to join in with heaven, because I sense you want to release that in a whole new way to our little tribe and beyond, our partners here and overseas, God, our friends, our family, God. They need to be in touch with you. They need to be connected with you. The wickedness is increasing, so the warring needs to increase, and the worship needs to increase, and it will. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.